plate a potential nugget.
Moving to a different theme in the context of building awareness towards what's going on, Jen, you talk about two kinds of pauses, a reactive pause and a proactive pause. Can you talk a little bit about both of these?
Well, I talk about both of these pauses because they're both important. And the more you can proactively pause, the more likely you are to be successful to pause in the moments where it counts. And that's a reactive pause. So an example of a reactive pause is your, and this is what all clients always want to know, is like, when I'm stuck in the moment with somebody, how can I prevent myself from just having a knee-jerk reaction that I don't want to have, either blowing up in anger or crying or hiding and running away if I'm someone whose conflict habit is shut down? Like, how can I prevent myself from doing those things? And my best advice is, in those moments, you want to stop and you want to breathe and take a pause, even if it's just in your own mind where you're counting to 10 inside of your own head. But my own experience, and my experience helping thousands of people through this kind of process, is that if we don't proactively pause in moments where we're not in the heat of the moment with someone else facing us, it's going to be a lot harder to have that reflex come up, to have that pausing reflex come up in the moment. So the more we can have as a daily practice, even if it's just literally 2 minutes a day in the morning, you know, 2 minutes in the morning and 2 minutes in the evening, or just start with 1 minute, or start when you're, you know, walking to the refrigerator to get something to eat. You can build this into your daily life in any way that works for you. It can be when you turn the shower on, you remember to take a breath, or every time you buckle your seatbelt, you remember to take 3 breaths. For many years, I had a practice where literally every time I would unbuckle my seatbelt, that was my cue that I just needed to take three breaths before I was allowed to get out of the car. And it really was super helpful to me. I should probably go back to doing it. I don't know exactly what stopped it. Maybe it was the pandemic where now I don't get in the car every day. So any practice like that where you have a regular proactive practice of pausing will help you when you are then in the moment to remember, okay, breathe. I can breathe. Because it's putting that pause that allows you to then respond differently and free yourself from getting stuck on that conflict loop the way you always have.
If this topic is of interest, I would urge you to listen to my conversation with Rich Fernandez of Search Inside Yourself, a leadership development organization incubated in Google. Especially the segment where he speaks about response flexibility and the notion of meta-distress. When I pressed him on how we should all develop response flexibility, he referred to the notion of an integrated practice.
Well, what I would say is ritualize it and routinize it. So make it a ritual or a routine. So personally, for me, it's the first thing I do when I wake up. I literally get up from bed, splash some water on my face, and I go downstairs to my office, and then I sit in the morning. And this is early morning before the sun is up. I'm an early riser. And before my family is awake, before I check my email or open up, you know, the laptop or look on my phone or anything, it's the first thing I do. And then the second thing I do is I brush my teeth. So it's to that level of routinization, right? It's to that level of ritualization for me. It's just the hygiene factor, I call it. So to the extent you could make the formal practice of meditation a hygiene factor, it will help make it a habit in your life. The other suggestion I have is something we offer in our curriculum, which is make it a set of integrated practices. When people think about meditation, they think about having to do exactly what I just said, which is set aside, you know, X block of time and, you know, sit in a certain way and close your eyes and protect this space for formal practice. But there's also a way to practice mindfulness and meditation in an integrated way. So for example, as you move through the course of your day, integrate it into your day. Between meetings, you know, if you need to walk to the restroom, make that a walking meditation. I'm actually serious about that, right? Become aware of your body as it moves through space between your office and the restroom. Become aware of your footfall. Become aware of, you know, the felt sense of your body. How are you feeling actually in that moment?
Back to what Jen says. I guess it's critical for us to respond and not react when we are in the heat of the conflict. And some of these proactive mindfulness practices can help. I guess it's a bit like net practice in cricket before the real game. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com.